Today's episode of Beyond the Uniform is sponsored by Secured Components. Secured Components is a certified small business supporting the warfighter since 2008. Secured Components delivers innovative and cost-effective solutions for high-reliability supply chain challenges arising from diminishing manufacturing sources and material shortages across a wide range of DoD legacy systems and platforms. Secure Components' commitment to a transparent supply chain, counterfeit avoidance, and strategic sourcing translates to increased readiness, reliability, and efficiency for the warfighter. Please visit their website at securecomponents.com or call them at 484-881-3125. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform, where our mission is to help military veterans thrive in their civilian career. Today's episode number 229 with Student Veterans of America CEO Jared Lyon.
So in our generation, in this post 9/11 era of service members, actually only 16% of transitioning service members are not going to go to school or already have school done. So I think the first thing to note is that you're not going to be sort of this outlier if you're thinking that post-military service higher education is going to play a role in your transition. It's kind of the opposite.
Well, Jared and the Student Veterans of America organization both have a wealth of knowledge about veterans in higher education. This interview is chocked full with data, insight, and advice for veterans considering pursuing education after their military service. We talk about factors to consider when choosing a school, how important self-knowledge is in finding a program, how to best maximize the use of one's GI Bill, how to avoid the, quote, imposter syndrome that prevents veterans from succeeding. We talk about not selling yourself short and more. There are a lot of resources that Jared mentions in this interview, and all of them are available at beyonduniform.io in the show notes for this episode, where you'll also find a text transcript of the episode. Also, we talk a lot about self-knowledge and how important that is in your career and in your education. One tool I want to remind listeners about is the Beyond the Uniform Coaching Program. It is subsidized professional coaches to help you figure out how to do your transition from the military as effectively as possible, or help you figure out what you want to do afterwards for your next career move. Check it out at beyonduniform.io. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Jared. Well, joining me today in Washington, D.C. is Jared Lyon. Jared, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I wanted to give listeners a quick background on Jared. He is the president and CEO of Student Veterans of America, or SVA. The SVA is a veteran success organization and works on behalf of student veterans at the local, state, and national level. They represent a coalition of over 1,500 student veteran groups from college campuses across the United States and in four countries. Jared started out in the Navy on board submarines, just like me, and he has worked at Northrop Grumman, the Washington Nationals Baseball Club, the IVMF, and more. So Jared, to start things off, if you were talking to someone on active duty, how would you describe the SVA?
So the easiest description I've got for Student Veterans of America is to sort of think of us like you would any other student organization. But just imagine that that student organization had a common thread, that everyone involved in the organization, either at one time or another, wore the uniform of their nation, is a family member of somebody who did, or is a supporter of the military. So really what you'd see in an SVA chapter is a group of students at the undergraduate level and graduate level alike, who sort of come together around that common notion of military service, however you're connected to the community, for the purposes of making sure that veterans, military-connected students, and our family members have the chance to live their best lives by fully experiencing college.
That's great. And it seems like for many people on active duty, it's a good transition point for them to exit the military, go to some form of education, and that gives them the ability to reorient, kind of settle in and figure out what they want to do next. And so it sounds like you're helping them choose the right institution and succeed once they get there.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. And then to make sure that there's supportive structures around that too, with regard to the research that we conduct on the population, which better informs overall policies, which manifests into our advocacy mission as well. Things like the GI Bill, as a for instance.
What are, you know, having seen so many people go through this process, are there any common challenges you see people face in deciding on which school to go to and getting in and then succeeding once they're there?
Yeah, no doubt. I think primarily it's the I wish I would have known or I wish somebody would have told me, right? I wish I would have known primarily seems to surround this idea of I wish I would have known all of the great institutions that were out there that had an interest in me applying, or I wish somebody would have told me that I could go to a U.S. News and World Report top 100, or that I wish I would have known about some of the really great programs, whether I might need preparation for higher education, which would be organizations like Warrior Scholar Project, for instance, or I wish I would have known about key resources that could have helped make my application to mostly undergraduate and graduate programs more strong. That'd be organizations like Service to School, for instance. And then I think it's the beyond just the resources, I think it's that bigger notion that, I wish I would have known that I could be eligible for an elite institution of higher learning, or I wish I would have known better about smaller liberal arts campuses that'd be a good fit for me. I mean, broadly, we've got some, 4,200 institutions of higher learning that grant degrees in the country, meaning that there's a huge amount of diversity that no matter what type of student or person or interest areas that you have in the college experience you're seeking or the career that you'd like post-graduation, that there's going to be an institution that becomes a good fit for you.
I love, and for listeners as a reminder, I'm taking notes as Jared and I talk, so I'm going to have all these resources like that U.S. News and World Report list and the Warrior Scholar Program and Service to School, so no need to worry about that if you're driving right now as you listen to this. But I wanted to ask about, it seems like on the one hand, there's value in these like top 100 lists, like the U.S. News and World Report you mentioned. And then I'm also just a personal big believer that there's also the component of the right fit. And you kind of touched on this as well. How do you recommend people to figure out what is the right school for them? What is the right process for them as they approach this decision?
Sure. So I'll start off with some statistics. I think a lot of people have a misperception or maybe even like a misunderstanding when we're on active duty as to the sheer volume of people that go to college. I can remember my own active duty time, which granted I separated in 2005, so that is some time ago. But just a couple weekends ago, I was with the crew of the USS Florida at Florida State University when the Florida State Seminoles played the Boston College Eagles. And so I was talking to a whole bunch of active duty sailors. And we still have this misnomer that not many people take advantage of their GI Bill or not that many people go to college. So what we know about transition right now is that fully 52% of transitioning service members will wind up in a college classroom post-military service within 7 months of getting off of active duty. So that's actually the majority of us will do that. Sometimes people think, okay, well, I'm worried about the other 48%. And I always try to remind you it's a whole pie, right? So if 52% of that pie goes straight to college, there's a percentage of that pie that separates from active duty that already has a degree, a bachelor's degree or higher. That's 32%. So it's 100% of our officer corps and about 16% of the enlisted force that separate with a bachelor's degree, either because they had it before they came in or they finished it using like tuition assistance or by other means before they got out. So in our generation, in this post 9/11 era of service members, actually only 16% of transitioning service members are not going to go to school or already have school done. So I think the first thing to note is that you're not going to be sort of this outlier if you're thinking that post-military service higher education is going to play a role in your transition. It's kind of the opposite. The majority of us are going to have education play a role. I think the next thing after knowing that is sort of knowing what you want to get out of higher education. I think starting with the end in mind and backwards planning is something very inherent to us as service members. So I find it helpful when thinking about college that way. So the so what of finishing our degrees often is to get that career, right? So if you start backwards planning from what kind of career you see yourself in post-military service, and then trying to figure out what type of institution and degree path leads to that, it's helpful. One of the things in sort of figuring out what kind of career you want is to also not feel weird if you're thinking about doing something after you get out of the military that has little or absolutely nothing to do with what you did while you were on active duty. In reality, the majority of us, actually nearly 87% of us, do a job after we get out of the military that has almost nothing to do with what we did in the military, right? Like, I, as you mentioned earlier, I was on a submarine. I was a diver on submarines as well. I don't really do either of those things leading a national nonprofit, right? Now, there's aspects of those things that make leading a national nonprofit beneficial, but it's not exactly what I do. So once you've identified what you want to do, then you start looking at where you want to be when you get out. The majority of service members, when they separate from active duty, will either stay where their last duty station is or move back home to where they or their spouse is from. That's just what the majority of people wind up doing. But I think if we think through what we want to do post-military service and how education is the vehicle to get us there, it sort of has us start thinking about transition a little bit differently. Like, where can I do that last move assignment where the military will pay for my last move to where my college is going to be? Also, trying to time when you get out to when classes begin is important. And then asking yourself some basic questions about the experience that you want to have. Far too often as service members, we think, I get the degree, I get the job. But there's a key element that's missing between get the degree and get the job. And that's that the majority of jobs in the United States that require bachelor's degrees actually come from somebody you know. And so your network is going to be very important to you while you're going through school to establish that network that helps combined with the degree to lead to the career. So what kind of experience do you want? Good question to ask yourself. Do I prefer smaller classroom sizes with more interaction with my professor and fellow classmates? Am I more interested in a large scale community that I can sort of replace that being part of bigger something bigger than myself that I might miss when leaving the Army or the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force, the Coast Guard? Am I looking for extracurricular activities that fit some of my interests? For instance, if I'm pursuing engineering, am I interested in a particular aspect of engineering? And what are some student organizations that have key components to engineering that will help me not only build a network on campus, but might lead to solid career outcomes when I graduate? So these are some of the questions to sort of ask yourself. But really, it starts with however long I have left on active duty, what do I want to do after I'm done with my career? And then sort of backwards plan. Then what type of experience do I want to have? A small school, a big school, a private school, or a public school? Do I want to attend classes online? Do I want to have flexibility to do some online and some in class? Am I going to work full or part-time while I'm in school? These are all things that are really important in sort of asking yourself the questions before you get out. Because the cool thing is, once you know some of the answers about yourself, taking that inward reflection, you can then start holding that against as a benchmark to what kind of campus experience I can expect to have when I graduate so that I can get the degree with the right network that leads to career.
I love this. I love the questions that you're articulating because I think that they're not the type of things that would occur to me or a lot of people on active duty to ask, you know, big school, small school, the type of extracurricular activities, what people go on to do, how you're hitting on the importance of that network. Are these all questions that you help people in the military find the right answer to? Because I could imagine myself back in 2007 when I was still in the Navy not maybe knowing the answer to that of like, well, I don't know, public or private. So how, what role do you play in figuring out the answer to those decisions?
Yeah, so from the Student Veterans of America National Headquarters perspective, what we're looking at is how can we shift our advocacy role towards making sure that the transition assistance program has some of these right things baked in to the education track. I think it's also helping to understand that while you're on active duty, eventually you're going to separate. And how do you sort of codify to yourself Am I going to take the career track or the education track, the self-employment track, et cetera? So it's making sure that the education track has a lot of those questions. But then it's also working with institutions of higher learning themselves to know who this population is that's separating from active duty, such that when they call the university that they're interested in, they can have those questions answered specifically at the institution level. But then the third thing is thinking of Student Veterans of America chapters as actual resources themselves. So if you go to studentveterans.org, you're just gonna go to our website. On there, you'll find our chapter directory, and it's going to list all 1,528 chapters located in all 50 states and actually four countries overseas, if you can believe it. And you can actually reach out to SVA chapter presidents, vice presidents, and the chapter advisor to ask some of these questions from a peer centricity standpoint. The cool thing about an SVA chapter is it's made up of us. It's made up of people who not all that long ago are just like somebody on active duty. And so reaching out to them, you've got somebody who's made the transition only a couple of years ahead of you. So they're able to talk through with you some of those things just as like a buddy. I mean, you might not have met this person yet, but they do have that commonality of having served in the military. And even though they might have been in the Navy and you might be in the Army, they might razz you a little bit about having chosen the Army before. No, I'm just teasing. But they'll have that conversation from a peer centricity standpoint that you can have that conversation. And sometimes it winds up being aspirational. I know in my own story, I got out of active duty. I was enlisted. I started at a community college so that I could build up an academic transcript, sort of avoid having to take the SAT and the ACT. Not that I'm suggesting that everyone do that, but for me, I knew that that was the right thing to do. Then I was able to take a few classes at community college and finish my associate's degree, and then ultimately matriculate to a four-year university as a transfer junior. And we're finding a lot more transitioning service members, especially on the enlisted side, are seeing that as a viable option. They separate from active duty. They can start at a community college a lot more readily. And what they're doing is they're choosing a community college that's already in the community where the four-year school is that they'd like to get their bachelor's degree from. So they're starting at a community college that already has articulation agreements with the four-year campus so that all their military credits are transferring to their associate's degree transcript. They're building up an academic transcript and a GPA. And a lot of folks on separating from active duty are not using their GI Bill at community college. Community college credits are so cheap, a lot of folks are paying out of pocket and preserving their GI Bill so that when they transfer as a junior into a four-year program, they now have 2 years of GI Bill for their bachelor's degree, and they still have two more years left if they'd like to complete a master's degree. So we're starting to see that a lot more. And when you talk to people that are just a few years off of active duty from you, you can really start forming a picture based on the questions that you ask and their answers, because you're also gaining insight into what the campus culture is at the four-year school that you're interested in or the graduate program that you're interested in. And I think we get no better information than talking to our peers, people that are just a few years ahead of us in that transition, because they can sort of point out some things that we might not be considering or things that might be a blind spot, or they might put a question back to us that helps us think about it and frame it in a different way towards a more informed decision for ourselves that leads to a better outcome after graduation.
I love that approach. So when I left active duty, I went to business school at Stanford. The way that I got in, I'm sure I would not have gotten in if I hadn't done this, is I talked to a veteran there. This person happened to be a submariner as well, which was great. But I think that people in active duty overvalue their branch of service. And now that I'm 10 plus years out, it's kind of like Army, Navy, Air Force, like Jared said, you'll get a joke about it. But apart from that, it's like, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of like you come from the military. So I love that approach, because the person on the ground at the school is going to have the best insight in to your application, to your transition. They're going to be, even right now, me 10 years out from business school, my advice is not going to be as good as a student who is there right now. And so the model that Jared's doing doing here is absolutely incredible because it keeps you close to the ground. It keeps you relevant to the changes that are going on in the organization. And they're in it. It's not like my memory of inflating the good and maybe minimizing the bad. They can sure. give you the most accurate info. So I think that's great that that's your approach. What about what advice do you have for listeners about the Forever GI Bill and what that means to them?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of key components that are important to understand. The first is that Forever GI Bill is really not an idea that was sort of manifested here at the Student Veterans of America National Headquarters in downtown Washington, D.C., right? Really, where this was born was through our chapter leaders all over the country, sort of pointing out areas of improvement that they would like to see with the post 9/11 GI Bill. Whenever you pass a piece of legislation, nobody has the benefit of a crystal ball or foresight before you pass it, right? And so along the way, there's key elements of it that could be improved upon or made better. One of the key areas was that veterans were pointing out that their delimiting date just didn't make sense to them. So the majority of veterans that get out, as we've already covered, go straight to college when they get out. But for some that don't go right away, there's a variety of reasons that they don't, either due to a family concern, maybe caring for a loved one that has something wrong. They're looking to take some time out of the military, gain a little bit of work experience before transitioning to education. Whatever that might mean, the old GI Bill gave you only 15 years to use your benefit. And a lot of veterans were saying, well, hey, if I earned that benefit, why can't I, you know, use it for life, much like the VA home loan, as a for instance, right? And so the Forever GI Bill is actually called the Harry W. Comey Education Assistance Act of 2017, a real mouthful, but its nickname is the Forever GI Bill because any service member who transitions out of the military after 2013, meaning if you get out next year, you fall into this category. If you got out in 2013, you fall into the category. You have your entire lifetime to use your GI Bill, and that's where it earns its moniker forever. There's also other key elements where if you didn't have enough time to serve on active duty before earning a Purple Heart, you now get 100% GI Bill if you earn the Purple Heart, regardless of how much time you were on active duty. And there was a variety of issues that impacted families and schools and reporting elements, et cetera. But I think the biggest one to note is that the Forever GI Bill represents a $3.45 billion enhancement, expansion, and improvement of the GI Bill, and it should come as two main understandings, that it was born out of the needs identified by current student veterans in school towards this notion that if we want to change something, we can, and by changing it, we've made it permanent, thus acknowledging how important education is to a successful post-military transition.
That's awesome. And what about if someone is listening and they're thinking, you know, I'm not a good student or I don't belong in higher education? I'm sure these are not unique thoughts. What advice do you have for someone who may be even prematurely ruling this out?
Yeah, so I would say I get it, right? That was me. I felt the exact same way. You know, I chose the Navy. I enlisted in August of 2001 after high school because for me, I viewed it as an opportunity to serve my country, join the Navy, see the world, right? So travel, adventure, exploration. But it was also the chance to earn a college education. I come from a real working class family, and you know, my parents couldn't afford to send me as the oldest of three to college. So I had to sort of figure that out. And the Navy gave me that opportunity that after I was done with my service, I could go to college. But frankly, I was a little scared about the notion of going right to college after I graduated high school because I wasn't sure that I was ready. I had other friends that were, I viewed as smarter than me and that were more academically prepared than I was. So I was a little nervous about the notion of going to college. Well, then I served on active duty, and 4 years after I was done, I still kind of felt the same way about college. I knew that achieving a degree at the bachelor's level and eventually the master's level was going to open up a lot of doors for me for where I saw my career going. But I still sort of had that what I like to call imposter syndrome about my my ability to do well in school. I wasn't maybe the best straight A student in high school. A lot of B's, a couple A's here and there, maybe a C or two. Don't tell my mom. And then the other side of that, though, was that am I going to be ready for the rigors of academia, specifically in math? I was never a very good math student, and I was worried about math at the collegiate level. So I sort of kept talking myself out of it. And really, if I'm to be honest, I think there was a fear of sort of the unknown about college. I had put that off until later, and 4 years, 5 years, 6 years of active duty, it flies by. You don't realize how quick it was until it's over. And I realized that I was no more more confident about going to college after 4 years on active duty than I was when I started. So I think the first thing, if you're self-doubting whether or not college is something that you can do, or if you've got that sort of imposter feeling of like, there was a reason I didn't go to college right after high school, or, you know, maybe I'm an officer and I have my bachelor's, but I've always been a little bit nervous about moving it up to the graduate level. Whatever it might be, the first thing that I would tell you is that, one, that's an okay feeling. Everybody feels that way. So don't self-doubt yourself out of ultimately self-selecting out of opportunity. The second thing that I would tell you is you're actually wrong. And I know how harsh that might sound, but like, what we've done at Student Veterans of America is study every military veteran that has used their GI Bill from September 11th, 2001 until August of 2016. So this is aggregated population level data. And what I can tell you is, with empirical evidence, today's student veteran, the contemporary student veteran at the associate's level, bachelor's level, graduate level, and terminal level, so PhD, JD, MD, and the like, are quite literally among the most successful students in higher education. We pursue more academically rigorous degrees. The top three majors right now are business, science, technology, engineering, and math, and health-related fields. We earn higher GPAs than our civilian counterparts. The nationwide GPA for veterans right now is a 3.35 compared to only a 2.97 for civilians that have never served. And our ultimate success rate, do we graduate, is among the highest in post-secondary education. So by the numbers, today's student veterans are the most successful in higher education. And so if you have the same feeling that I did as you're getting ready to get out of the military and plan your transition about college maybe not being that right fit for you, or you feel not academically ready, or even worse, like I felt, that you maybe don't belong in a classroom and thus should seek other opportunities, I would tell you that it's natural to feel that way. And cut it out, because it's not true. There's no aggregated data to support that feeling. There's great organizations, as I mentioned on the top of the call, with Service to School to help you plan your admissions process to higher education. There's Warrior Scholar Project that can help academically prepare you with academic boot camps that run in 1 week or 2 week cycles. And then there's Student Veterans of America chapters all over the country at the same school that you're interested in going in. And so the piece of advice I would say, once you get over that feeling of maybe I'm not ready, or maybe I don't belong in a college classroom, is to know that there's nearly a million veterans in college right now. We make up 4% of the overall student body in America, and that when you get there, you will thrive. So there's Student Veterans of America chapter leaders at the school that you probably have an interest in. Talk to them. And then the last thing is probably a piece of advice. Once you get over the whether I belong there or not, the next thing is to aim as high as you can. And I always hate that advice sort of sounds like an Air Force commercial, right? Like aim high. But what I mean by that is this is your ability to quite literally shape the future trajectory of your life. Don't sell yourself short and apply to the best college and university campuses that you feel are a good fit for you and have the degree path that helps get you to the career you're looking for.
I love it, man. I really appreciate the amount of information you bring to the conversation, because even for me, it's kind of like this unknown, and you're bringing these numbers that are incredible. I love, you know, at the start of the interview, you had said 87% of veterans go into a job that doesn't relate at all to what they did, which I love, because I feel like I get so many people asking about, this is what I did in the military, what should I do after? And right. It's like, you know, there's just, I think that people underestimate the universal experience of being in the military, determination, integrity, stick-to-itness, technology, like all of these things that no matter what you do in the military, you get exposure to leadership, all of these
decision-making
things.
Decision-making ability. It's one of the things employers love about us. We can make decisions.
And so not feeling like you have to go into sonar or whatever you did in the military, like realizing like that just the fact that you were in the military qualifies you for a lot of different things. But I love how you've got all this information about students, veterans succeeding. I think that's great for people to hear. And one thing I'm just kind of curious about, because I know we're starting to run out of time, is if someone listening is fired up, they want to pursue higher education now, how can they get involved with the SVA? You talked about reaching out to those chapters and getting plugged in there. Anything else they should know about how to get involved today, or steps they could take today to make that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of key ways. You can shoot us an email if you'd like to. That's simple. That's contact@studentveterans.org. You can shoot us a call to our national headquarters. We answer the phones Monday through Friday, 8:30 in the morning until 5:30 in the evening. That number is area code 202-223-4710. And again, in addition to those things, connect with us on social media. There's a huge LinkedIn community. So if you're a transitioning service member and you haven't looked at all the great resources that LinkedIn offers you, with a 1-year free membership, if you're on active duty or a recently transitioned service member, you definitely should, because LinkedIn is the conversation that is being had about career, that if you're not active on LinkedIn, you're being left out of that conversation. So connecting with us on LinkedIn, or, you know, the standard things, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, as well as, and I can't overstate this enough, there's huge value on jumping on to studentveterans.org, to the chapter directory, and looking up the president, vice president, and chapter advisor of an SVA campus that you might be interested in attending. There are student veterans that are on those campuses who were in the same shoes you are right now just a few short years ago. And it's amazing what a conversation can do. The last thing that I'd say too is there's a resource as it pertains to mentoring and having conversations. It's called Veterati. I'm not sure if you are familiar with it or not, but Veterati is a great platform where if you're still on active duty service member or you're recently transitioned, you can go on to Veterati. And if you've already got a LinkedIn profile, it can link with Veterati and set your profile up right away. If you don't have a LinkedIn, not a problem. You can manually set one up. But what that allows you to do is in key areas that you're interested in post-military, you can start connecting with veterans and civilians alike that have the experience in the career areas that you've got an interest in, and set up a 30-minute phone call with them and just have a conversation about some of those things. I mean, the beautiful thing about mentorship is it's the ability to have a conversation about what you're looking to do and receive some real-time feedback from somebody who's in the thing that you have an interest in.
And for listeners, again, I'll have all of these. I've got about a dozen different resources that'll be linked in the show notes for this episode. This is really fantastic. I'll include the contact email and phone number if you want to call the SVA. But also, since Jared had mentioned Veterati in episode 160, I talked to Daniel Rao at Veterati.
Awesome.
Great organization. And if you'd like, and also Service to School, I think it's episode 6 with their
Very
founder.
Cool.
So check those out. I think it's great that it's always great to see veteran organizations playing well with others and helping each other in the ecosystem. So Jared, this is really fantastic. I want to leave the last question open-ended. And that is, what have we not talked about today that you want to make sure that listeners know before we wrap up?
Man, we were pretty thorough. Goodness. You know, it's something that we talked about, but I'd love to put an exclamation point on it. As a transitioning service member, you are capable of so much more than you're giving yourself credit for. And I don't mean that as a negative statement. We have a very much, you know, mission first, team first mentality when we're currently in the military. And when we separate from active duty, it sometimes feels like you've got to really be like the person that's willing to raise their hand and say, hey, look at me. It seems nefarious. It seems awkward. and then we're told to network, and that seems weird too, because it seems like I'm trying to get an unfair leg up on the competition, and I want to be judged and evaluated on my own merits and the hard work that I've done. I'd say that the not selling yourself short is probably the chief thing. When you separate from active duty, it's on you what happens next. If you're willing to set a plan, ask questions along the way, and seek help from others while willing to help along the way, there's nothing you can't accomplish. From being able to go to a Stanford Business School, one of the top MBA programs in the country, or like me, who's the highest rank I ever achieved was as a petty officer second class, right? To go on to get an MPA from the Maxwell School at Syracuse University. You can do it. There's a community out there when you separate from active duty who's waiting for you to get there to take the mantle and go kick ass along the way. We can't wait till you get out. The grass is green on the other side, and you're going to do awesome.
I love it. And I just want to point out two things. First of all, I so agree with what Jared just said. And I think that a lot of people I've had on the show talk about, let me just see the way that you had said it. You said, don't sell yourself short. And I think that a lot of guests I've had on the show in different verbiage say the same thing, which is, advocate for yourself and figure out what you want and go after it wholeheartedly, and don't feel ashamed about networking or doing whatever you need to do to obtain that. And then the second thing I just wanted to point out is, Jared, I've really enjoyed our conversation, and I know we talked everything about SVU, but we didn't really talk about your career path. And I just want to point out to listeners that Jared, I think, in my mind, kind of represents, he is president of a very, very large nonprofit organization, which has a lot of juggling plates. But I think that you got a taste of who he is in this interview, of the amount of knowledge he brings to the table, the passion he brings to the table, his ability to explain everything I asked very succinctly and very well. And, if that resonates with you, it's a career path to consider, of getting involved with a nonprofit, carrying some sort of mission forward. And I know we didn't really get to talk specifically about your career path, Jared, but I want to make sure for listeners I pointed that out, because I think you're a really exceptional role model of someone who served in the military and now continues to do something great. And that's a valuable career path for many listeners.
Well, I very much appreciate that. And for anyone that's listening to this, if you want to connect, the easiest way to do that with me is either LinkedIn or Twitter. Just shoot me a note, and I'd be happy to find some time to connect and have a conversation if anything I've said resonates and you think I can be helpful in your transition.
Awesome. Well, Jared, thank you for the work you do, and thanks for sharing your story with Beyond the Uniform today.
You got it, brother. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.